In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture passages today are challenging. They're hard to read, to hear, and inwardly digest. They're full of present pain and the revealing that there will be future struggling and strife, but also with the undergirding of the assurance that at the end, God prevails, God saves. In our reading from Malachi, which is thought to be written in about the 5th century BCE, Malachi gives a prophetic voice that we are called to live faithfully in the covenant that was given to the people by God, and that it is revealed what happens to those who don't adhere to that covenant. Only the faithful will be saved. And then we get to the reading in Thessalonians, where people believed that Jesus' second coming, the end time, was near. And we hear the words, "You are not called to be idle, to sit and do nothing, waiting for the coming of Christ. Nor are we to busy ourselves with worthless task, simply so we can tell ourselves that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Indeed, what we are called to do is imitate those who have gone before us. Paul, who came to Thessalonians before. Those who learned what it meant to follow the way, to follow Jesus. Imitate those. Love abundantly. Show kindness. Feed those who are hungry. Be waiting for the time that Christ comes, fully immersing in the work that God calls us to do." And then we have our gospel passage. And Luke is thought to be written in the latter part of the 1st century CE, during that time when, in fact, what Jesus is telling the disciples will actually happen. The second temple will be destroyed. And he's telling them, do not put all your faith, don't idolize, is another way he might have said it, temporal things, because those things will pass. But instead, worship the Lord. Be willing to make the sacrifice, the cost of discipleship, the cost of what it means to sing a new song to the Lord, a song of mercy, a song of reconciling, a song of love. The temple will once again be destroyed, stone upon stone torn down, the beautiful jeweled gifts and jeweled tones that are in the temple will no longer be. What will life look like for them once again? Jews are so faithful in keeping the outward and inward signs of their faith. They're signs of a call to prayer, the way that they follow a dietary law, the way they worshiped in their local synagogues, and the pilgrimages they made to the temple. What will their journey look like when once again the temple is destroyed? The cost of discipleship in the midst of nations rising against nations, which have happened since the beginning of time, it's a sacrifice. It requires our very best. It's often very uncomfortable, especially if we're truly following the way. And often, in certain times and places, it means persecution. But we are called to do that work. How do we, as the church, find our voice? How do we find the courage to tell a story that is new to so many people? Or so many people have not heard the story of God in so long it is forgotten. How do we find that courage outside these walls in a world where nation is rising up against nation? The nation we live in is a huge schism in it. Words are being said one to another. It's such an inappropriate, hate-filled level. How do we find the strength to sing this song? We know the words. We hear them every time we gather. They're found in Scripture. They're found in our liturgy. They're sung in our hymns. They're woven into the fabric of our life. But how do we go out there in our workplaces, the places where we encounter the other, and sing a new song? One of the ways we do that is we gather as the church. Since the time of Jesus, people have taken comfort and strength and healing in gathering together to hear the word of God, to break bread, first in homes, and over time in spaces that became dedicated and known as the church. The church is called to be a sanctuary. Where and how we worship forms us. It molds our hearts, teaches us what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The first time I walked in this sanctuary was June 7th, this past summer. I came in the morning, and I walked into this sanctuary, and the sunlight was pouring through that window, and it caused the light that looked like jewels to be dancing through this place. And I walked up to this stone, this marble, and I could feel almost the fear and hopes which those who have been here for generations, and those of you who are here now, the fear and hope that you make those steps to the altar, to reach out our hands, to be made whole, to be fed. As I rubbed my hand on the altar rail, I could feel those prayers. Sometimes when you're ready to run to the altar and get communion, kids do that so well. And sometimes also those times where we're just barely dragging one foot in front of the other. Well, as I met with the vestry those 2 days, when they didn't want me in the room, they very nicely invited me to go sit in the thorn room. And if you don't know what the thorn room is, it's a conference room. It's lovely. It's right down the hall on the left. And I'm obedient, so I went to the thorn room, only for a minute or two, because then my heart was moved to come back in here. I wanted to rub my hand on the baptismal font and renew those promises that were made for me so long ago. I wanted to sit in different parts of this church and think about what life looks like when a community of people are welcomed into a space that, God willing, is safe, a place where you can come thirsty and hungry. When you come through those doors thirsty, I pray that your thirst is quenched with the peace and the grace of God. I pray that when you come in those doors hungry, that your souls are made new. When we partake of that meal together, when we trace those steps that have been traced for over a century, and we hold our hands up, and we are fed, we are renewed, we are made whole. I pray that when you come, not sure if you remember the story, or maybe coming doubting parts of the story, know that you are welcome, that you have come to a place where people have wondered and questioned and believed for years. There is a place for you and sanctuary. Now, we can't stay here forever. I've been known to say so many times through my life, I would be such a better Christian if I just stayed in church. Like, I can really do the work God gives me to do as long as it's surrounded by the beauty and symbols of God. Because it renews us and helps us remember whose we are. But we're not called to worship the church. We're called to come to church to worship God. And when we do that, then we can go out there and face whatever it is God is calling us to face. The church is a vessel. It is a vessel that we come into empty, longing to be filled. And when we are, we go out and pour out ourselves in the dark and broken places of the world, which surround us. And when we find ourselves poured out with nothing left, and in those places of darkness, then we come back to be filled up again. We ask to be sent out. Let us remember that. After we are fed the bread and the wine, the body and blood, we say, send us out to do the work that you have given us to do. And we go out full, we go out forgiven, and we go out blessed. May we go out and sing a song of love and of mercy, of hope, so that people know that God's arms are open and God saves all that God has created. That is a story that needs to be told, and it's our story to tell. Sing a new song in a broken world. Amen.